Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about. So this week, Sherry and I are here with Matt Goldman and Joelle Steiniger. You might know them from the Rocket Ship podcast, and they also have a startup together called Hookfeed. So to set the stage, Matt and Joelle, they've known each other for about 4 years. They started off as coworkers. They've been dating for the past 3 years. They live in San Diego. And the interesting part of this, the reason we want to have them on the show, is that they essentially run two businesses together. They started Hookfeed, which is a SaaS CRM for Stripe, about 2 years ago. And they started this podcast called The Rocket Ship, which has had a lot of uptake in the startup community. So thanks, Matt and Joelle, for coming on the show.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's kind of start at the beginning. How did the two of you meet?
So we both worked at the same digital agency here in town. I was there for about 5.5 years. And towards the end of that time, Matt came on as an intern and then ultimately a full-time employee there. So that's where we met. I was originally his manager, but now he likes to joke that he's my boss, which isn't true.
Well, that's kind of scandalous, dating the intern.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did that for a while. We dated without really admitting to ourselves that we were dating. We'd hang out after work every day and just grew closer together over the years. And finally, we decided to admit it to ourselves and to everybody else there and expected this terrible, terrible response. But everyone was like, yeah, we know.
Like they knew before you did.
Yeah, they're like, big surprise.
So Matt, you left that agency and started Hookfeed. And then Joelle, you joined him, right?
Yeah, about 3 months after he left, I joined him.
Okay.
And that was back in 2012, early 2013.
So there's kind of two big decisions that you two made. One is obviously the decision to date, to be a couple, and to now recently get engaged. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And then the other is the decision to go into business together. It sounds like dating kind of emerged pretty organically over time. Was deciding to do the company together a similar path, or did you go about that decision in a different way?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they hear that we're dating and that we have a business together, we get the reaction a lot of like, oh my God, I could never work with my significant other. We'd kill each other. How do you guys do it? And you live together and the whole thing. And to me, it's always just been very natural. I think because we met at work, so we knew each other as coworkers first. And so our like communication patterns and everything is around being able to work well together. So the idea of going into business together wasn't really scary at all.
Yeah, it was a natural thought to have, but I remember those times being very stressful just because so much is unknown and making that leap as one person is difficult and making it as two people is even harder. And at the time we weren't living together, so there were a lot of balls up in the air that we had to figure out. And I think that's why we left at different points. Like it's something that we've considered for a while and kind of aspired to, but it was very stressful.
And I think actually Matt leaving first gave me the courage to try and do something on my own versus staying at a company that was established, because it was something I always wanted to do and I didn't know how to do it and I was scared. And to see him within a couple months already kind of have the foundation of something real and making it work, it just gave me the courage to be like, okay, this is definitely possible.
He kind of proved the concept for you.
Yeah, definitely.
When you left and joined him, Joelle, did it feel like you were coming into an idea and a company that was kind of already his, or did you form it together?
I would say it was a little more like coming into an idea that was his, mainly because I had a big learning curve to get through. He'd been kind of in the product software world on his own for a while just because it was his hobby. And I came from agency client land, which is very different. You could say they're both tech, but it really is pretty different. And so I had a big learning curve to like understand how startups work and the whole culture of the startup world, how software is developed, the whole process was different. So it wasn't even just about coming into his idea. It was kind of coming into a whole new world.
So there was a lot that you had to figure out at the beginning.
Yeah. And also I had to figure out how to contribute because my role at the agency was as a project manager. So that's not really something that you need you know, in an early stage startup, you need people that can contribute on every other level. So I started taking classes to learn how to code, started learning about development in a way that we could have intelligent conversations with each other. And I could really understand what he was doing and why. It was really kind of like being thrown in the deep end and sink or swim and figuring out every possible way that I could contribute.
How did you guys manage the stress of that? I mean, Matt, you alluded to a lot of anxiety at the beginning. And Joelle, I can just imagine what it is like to have to learn all of those skills at the same time that you're leaving your job and starting a new relationship. Were there some pretty tough times in there where the stress almost got the best of you?
It was actually kind of a relief. I mean, it was stressful in a lot of ways, like not being able to describe to friends and family exactly what we were doing because we weren't really sure. Trying to feel like this was going to be a legitimate company and we're not just wasting time and things like that. But I was kind of coming off this 5.5 year period at a company that I was pretty miserable at. I hated being a project manager. I didn't feel like I was contributing in meaningful ways to different projects. I didn't feel like I was growing or learning. There was kind of a toxic culture there. And I just kind of grew more and more depressed over time and felt trapped. And it got to the point where, like, I didn't really feel like I was in control of my own life. Like, this company owned me and my boss owned me and I couldn't run my own life day to day the way I wanted to. I just had to be at that desk for those hours every day. And so even though there were all these different stresses and unknowns running this company, the freedom that I felt was such a relief that it kind of overpowered everything else. I finally felt like my life was my own.
Awesome. It sounds like you can do a lot of work and really jump into some tough situations when you're really excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it took us a long time. You look at the path that people take. We had a product ready for people to try out pretty soon after starting the company, but we focused on the wrong things a lot. It's taken us a really long time to get to a point where the business is viable. So there was a long period there where we had that freedom, but we were stressed because we weren't making as much as we could and we were focusing on the wrong things. So even, you know, there were times where it came to a point where one of us was going to have to get a job to make the whole thing work. But even faced with that decision, it's so much better than the alternative that we were in because you have the choice and you can choose what kind of job you want to take and how that contributes to your learning over the next few years and how it contributes to the ultimate goal. So going out on our own was such a big boost in freedom that even with all the stress, it was totally worth it.
Now that you're a couple years in, how do you divide up the roles and tasks of your business?
So when Joelle learned to code, she learned HTML and CSS through Treehouse. And that's allowed her to basically execute on any kind of front-end marketing site for any project we're working on. Michael, our partner on the rocket ship, also codes. So having for the podcast, we're all able to do all the work and that works out really well. Because it is a side project and we all get busy with our main projects and having everyone able to jump in on marketing or sales, it's perfect. On Hookfeed, I'm the only one of us that does backend Ruby code and then we also work with a part-time developer. So, you know, most of the development is on me, but she does the marketing site. We both do sales, marketing support. Most of the work falls between the two of us.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we have like black and white lines drawn in the sand and I don't know, maybe that's a mistake sometimes, but it's just kind of easy. You know, we don't have a handful of people that we're trying to like juggle workloads between. We can kind of just pass things back and forth depending on who can handle it now or who's busy or who needs a hand, with the exception of the development, obviously.
The two of you have a pretty fluid conversation about who's doing what, when, and how to cover each other to make sure that all the tasks are taken care of.
Yeah.
What's been the most fun part of starting the business together?
It kind of goes back to what Joelle was saying about living and working together. I think the whole thing's very fun. We got started as friends and I have such a great time with Joelle that to be able to work on stuff all day with her and work on cool projects that we're pumped about, we're growing together every day in ways that we didn't before. And I think that's a blast.
Yeah. And I also would say like the freedom aspect of it. Part of the fun of this, or at least the stage we're at now, is that we can do this from anywhere. And the freedom to travel, even short little trips around the West Coast here, is something that I never had the chance to do that much of when I was working at a company. And so the fact that we can take these trips and work a few hours in the morning wherever we are and do all that, that wouldn't be any fun if that was just me. But since we can do that together and neither of us has to worry about vacation time or other work schedules, and we're kind of in this together. It's just been so unique and so fun to be able to do that.
So both of you have the flexibility to enjoy the freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that's been important to us from the start, is having the balance. And there's definitely days where we overwork and weeks where we kind of get buried. But overall, I know that Joelle's family is super active, and a lot of them live in San Diego. And there's so much to do here that you're constantly getting pushed out of the house to go to the beach. Or we recently got a puppy, so there's going to the park every day with her. And there's just tons of activities that pull you away from the work, and it's easy to not get totally singularly focused on that. So we've always had that in mind. We cycle through periods of respecting that totally and not so much, but having that around us, it makes it really easy to step away and do these small trips or camping or something to get you away from the work.
Something else that we did that made a huge difference in our stress levels and happiness levels is that we got an office space outside of the house. There was a point where we were both kind of ready to boil over about a year and a half ago. And it was really because there was no separation between work and home, because we constantly had our laptops in our lap or on our desks or on the couch or whatever. And I was starting to feel like maybe this isn't sustainable. And then we got an office space just a few blocks from our house. We can walk there. And that one thing alleviated all of that, because now you can go there, you can get a really solid day of work in, and when you're home, you're home. So that helped a lot.
That is a great adjustment. Sounds like it really helped to clarify what's family time, home time, and then what's work time.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like one of those things where I stressed about it for a really long time, because I started to question, like, really if what we were doing was going to be sustainable, not from a financial position, but from like a lifestyle position. And I lost so much sleep over that. And literally all it took was like throwing a couple $100 at an office space.
Yeah. It's more than just the space. It's, I could go there for 2 hours and I feel like, and I do get so much done there, that when I come home, work isn't on my mind. Whereas when I was at home, I would find ways to fill that time with quote unquote work that wasn't important. And at the end of the day, you always feel guilty and you continue working after dinner while you're watching TV or doing whatever, because there's always that guilt there. So just having the office and knowing that I can go spend as little as a couple hours or even a full day, it alleviates so much stress.
And it sounds like it really helps you focus. The different environment really cues that this is work time. I'm very focused on this right now. And it helps differentiate that sort of half work thing that many of us do at home from real dedicated work time.
Yeah, especially since we got the puppy. We don't have kids like you guys. And that was a big...
She is like my child.
Yeah, that was a big eye-opener for us of having to take care of another living being. And it's not just a couple times a day, it's throughout the entire day. So home now is both living, working, and also this furry little ball scruffing around that always wants to play with you. So it's great, but it can also be a huge distraction.
Do you find that you need to have similar sort of distinctions in your conversations? Are there times that you set aside to talk about work versus the conversation that you have over dinner and a glass of wine at night?
Yeah, I'm definitely the enforcer of that, because I like what we do, or I should say I love what we do, but I need like a lot more different inputs and stimuli and all that in my life. And I think Matt, like his hobby is software. And so the difference there is like, I need a break from it sometimes and he really doesn't. So a lot of times I'll have to be like, okay, we're not talking about work right now. Or a while back, I think I made him promise that he can't pitch me ideas as pillow talk anymore. I would wake up in the morning and like my eyes weren't even open yet. And he's like, I had this idea last night. I'm like, give me a second.
I need a toothbrush and my coffee before you can talk to me.
Yeah. And on my end, I've learned over time that timing is very important. I could tell her something at that point when it's, you know, not really appropriate and she's not fully going to hear it. She might nod and act like it, but she's not interpreting it. Or I could wait and wait till work time or put something on the calendar and make it a bit more formal, which feels so weird to schedule an appointment with my fiance, who I'm living with, about work stuff, but it does set a boundary there. And it's something that I know we need to get a lot better at. And when we do respect that, things go a lot better.
Don't feel bad about that, Matt. That happens between Sherry and we don't even have a business together, but I've frequently been known to bring up random business stuff when we're out at a anniversary dinner or something.
Yeah. And when it's on your mind, it's so hard to get rid of. I know that something that really helped me, and I'm sure it helped you as you've built out your team, is when I started working with Ryan, our developer, I finally had someone to talk to about the stuff that was on my mind. And it was that outlet. Whereas there was a long period where I would bring it to Joelle and she would listen, and usually that's all that I would need, is to say it out loud and then everything clicks. Mm-hmm. But it's so much better to say it with him.
Right. Yeah. My team, and then I'm in two mastermind groups with a couple other founders. And that has also been my sounding board. Every other week, I'm able to talk pretty in depth about stuff that's on my mind, broader big picture stuff.
So do you stagger those so that every week you have a mastermind?
You know, I'm not that calculated about it, but that would probably be the ideal situation. One of them is via Skype, and it's recurring every other Wednesday morning at a certain time. And then the other one is in person here in Fresno. And so that one's a little more off the cuff. But yeah, I think in an ideal world, I'd have one every week, because there's definitely plenty of stuff to share.
And we do a ton of scheduling conversations. You guys were on our calendar last night, actually, 8:30 p.m. What are we going to ask Matt and Joelle? So we set it on our calendar, spent 20 minutes talking about it, and then moved on.
I can totally see how that works. Usually that's the only time that important stuff actually gets done.
How do you think it's been different doing the business together as a couple versus what it would have been like to do it by yourselves? We talked about it a little bit in the sense that you really have a partner, but yeah, what other things have been different because you are also a couple?
Yeah, it's really a level of trust that he knows what he's doing, because even though we're partners, I trust him still with a lot of the big decisions of like where to drive the boat. I weigh in on things, especially if I have a strong opinion, I'll speak up. But in a lot of ways, I kind of feel like Matt's driving this boat and I'm kind of like, you know, the co-pilot, co-captain. And so it's developed a different kind of trust in him. And it's really strengthened that, especially as we kind of figure things out and get better and smarter and faster at things over time. And that's really like a whole new respect for him as a person that maybe I wouldn't get to see if we worked at two different companies.
That's a pretty interesting idea, actually. The idea that the connection that you experience through the business relationship deepens and strengthens the personal relationship.
Yeah. And we have a vested interest together. I mean, our personal livelihood depends on how well we do in this business. And so if he really thinks that like, this is the way we got to go with Hookfeed, that doesn't just affect our company, that affects our livelihood. You know, that's a big responsibility. But I think because we have trust in each other, and maybe I'm speaking for you, but I think you have trust in me and in the roles that I play with it, I think it just strengthens our relationship with each other.
Yeah, I do trust you.
Thanks for clarifying, Matt.
Yeah, I think that it goes both ways too. Like, I have massive respect watching Joelle grow over the couple of years and go from a role that she was in for pretty much her entire professional career into something totally new and figuring out how to make it work and figuring out how to thrive at it. I'm constantly amazed by what she produces. With only 2 years under her belt, it makes me feel a bit guilty because I've been doing this for probably 7 to 10 years. And a lot of times she'll design it better, build it better, market it better than me. And it's so great to go beyond just having a co-founder to having someone that you respect on so many more levels also be your co-founder. People talk about how you shouldn't start a company on your own. And I feel like this is just one level beyond that.
What might make it more difficult? I mean, what's the other side of that? There's obviously a tremendous amount of trust and overlap between your lives. Are there any downsides to going into business together as a couple?
Yeah, we always joke that the only times we fight are over the color of a button. And it's so true. Like, the stuff that gets us worked up is professional stuff that oftentimes doesn't matter that much. So we sometimes we get into it, but we also find ways around it. And I know that that's one thing that trips us up sometimes.
Yeah. And I think we do have to make an effort to like find our own activities and split up a little bit and go do things with our friends on our own. And we're going to spend more time together, whether we try to or not, than most couples. So we definitely have to make that conscious effort to like plan things individually, separate from each other.
To keep up your individual personal growth separate
from what's going on. Either of us. Yeah. Like it would be pretty easy to become completely codependent and kind of lose your sense of individuality with not only the amount of time we spend together, but pretty much everything we do in life is together. Our business, our house, our dog, a lot of our friends are the same. Our families are close. So it really does take a bit of effort to plan and keep some individual things just for yourself.
What's next for you guys? What are you excited about in the future?
Well, from the non-professional side, I'm really excited to get married this fall. Although planning the wedding has been like a third full-time job, or actually a fourth now that we have the dog. The podcast, hook feed, the dog, and a wedding. But I'm really excited for that this fall and to kind of start the whole journey of marriage. I know that even though it seems like things won't be all that different, I think that there will be some differences. And I'm excited for that and a family down the road. And I feel like I'm at that point in my life where like things are starting to come together. I'm in my early 30s and I feel like a lot of people, especially girls, get like so upset when they turn 30. I'm like, I feel like 30s are when the good things are happening. Like there's so much uncertainty and angst in your 20s and your career's not really there yet and you have bad relationships and all this stuff. And 30s is like, okay, we're starting to figure out our company. We're going to start this life together and all these things are starting to gel. And so I'm really excited for all that to be happening.
I totally second that about the 30s. It's like now you finally figured out who you are and now you can go and live.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh man, you're 30. It's all downhill from here. And I was like, actually, I'm pretty excited.
I mean, hoping that
I don't think I'll say that when I'm 40, but.
Oh, I was just going to say, personally, I'm hoping the 40s feel that way too. Oh, well.
Yeah, actually, I hope that. We'll see.
I'm still in my 20s and they feel great.
We're all okay.
I don't get hungover like Joelle. I have energy.
Oh, geez.
I sound like a dream.
You're amazing.
You are. Yeah. Something I'm excited about, we talked to Garrett Diamond from Sifter App pretty early on when we were getting started. And one of the bits of advice that he gave us was to not put life on hold as you do this. And I know he's given talks before where he looks back at the first few years when he was starting his business. And on that graph, he maps over when they got a house and when they got married and had their first child. And that was his biggest piece of advice. And I can totally see it. I'm so happy that even when times are stressful or when the product's not really there yet, you can't just put everything on hold and wait for it to be right. And we haven't done that. And I'm excited with all these new things compounding and now getting married and whatever comes after that. I'm just excited for everything coming together.
So if there's a couple out there who is considering doing a startup together, you know, what would your questions be for them or what advice might you offer them before they take the plunge?
I think my first piece of advice would be the same advice I would give someone who wants to do a startup who's not a couple, which is to really understand what you're getting into. I love what we do. And I know you hear a lot of entrepreneurs say the same thing, but that also doesn't mean it's glamorous or for everybody because the stresses that you leave behind at a job are pretty much replaced with different stresses. And it's kind of your preference of like what you would rather deal with. And it is really scary to go out on a venture on your own or with a partner, whether that partner is just a coworker or a significant other. So I think that's the most important thing to consider is like, do you know what you're getting into? And is your risk tolerance and stress tolerance compatible with what you're trying to do? And then on top of that, if you're doing it with a significant other, I would just make sure you kind of already know how you work together and handle stressful situations together. Luckily, Matt and I worked together before that. So we kind of already knew how we worked together and meshed and where we had complementary skills and where our skills kind of diverged. So if you aren't really sure of that yet with that person, I would maybe start with like, you know, a little project here and there and just see how it goes before you change your entire life.
I think that's a really key point, in that you can have a good relationship, a personal relationship, but the working together thing can be a surprise. As an example, Sherry and I have been married 15 years as of a week or two from now. And really doing this podcast is one of the first times that we've kind of started, you know, an effort. Like, it's kind of a business unto its own. And we definitely have different working styles, and we've had to adjust that. So even though we have a deep, long personal relationship, I think you guys, in starting your efforts, had maybe an advantage of that because you did work together beforehand.
Yeah, I can see how it would be difficult, especially if you're not on the same page or if you have different styles of working. There's so many different factors that could play into it. And I love the idea of finding some little project to do, whether it's something around the house or maybe a starting a podcast or a passion project together. I think you learn a lot.
That's great advice. Try it out, test the waters, and see how it goes, and then make adjustments from there.
So if you're interested in hearing more from Matt and Joelle, you can check out their startup. It's called Hookfeed. It's at hookfeed.com. And their podcast, which I highly recommend to anyone who will listen, is at rocketship.fm. And Matt and Joelle, how else can folks keep up with you? Maybe on Twitter. What are your handles?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Joelle Steininger.
And I'm SD Matt G.
Sounds great. Thanks again for taking an hour out of your day and joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on. This was really fun. We actually don't get to talk about all this stuff very much. And hopefully it's helpful to people out there, or at least interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.